He had to go upon a mountain for 40 days and 40
nights.
And talk with God. And while he was in that a meeting with God, God began to give him this pattern. There is a scripture. Let me see if I can find it. It's in Hebrews. Paul was writing. And he was telling us that the thing that Moses received was a type, a shadow of what was in the heavenlies. Okay. Here in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, it says, then verily the first covenant have also ordinance of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. There was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary.
Verse 3,
and after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. So these things that God was giving, Moses in a natural arena were significant of a spiritual reality.
Praise
the Lord. We jump down to verse 8. Verse 9. It says, which was a figure, that old tabernacle of Moses, for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience.
N'oge nke dị ugbu a, a na-echekwa na ma onyinyo.
So we see that this pattern that was given to Moses.
I hold on. For I need Moses.
Was a pattern to that dealt with perfection. So the natural significance of it had a spiritual destiny. And that destiny was perfection. Now, perfection is a New Testament theology. It's a New Testament reality. There are several places in the New Testament that God says, be ye perfect. And he does not leave that perfection to your imagination. In one of the writings of Paul, I believe, he says, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect.
Hallelujah.
Now that natural temple, that physical temple, that was that tabernacle that was given to Moses, being that it was a type, a shadow, could not accomplish the aspect of that perfection. It was in some respects a signpost guiding us to that perfect tabernacle which was to come.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, God says in the New Testament, I do not dwell in temples made by man's
hand.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But I dwell in the arena or with the tabernacle of man. So in essence, as there was this sanctuary and tabernacle in the Old Testament, it was a spiritual typology of that tabernacle that is called a human being.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In the old tabernacle, you had three parts.
Hallelujah.
It was an outer court. There was an inside of that, there was an inner sanctuary, which in itself was called the tabernacle. And that inner sanctuary was divided into two parts. The first part was called the holy place. If I had a board, I'd draw it for you so you can see it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It, sometimes the visual aids go a long ways. And then between the holy place and the holy of holies, there was a veil. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it was in three distinct separate parts. And those three parts in the natural are indicative of the position or the place of our tabernacle. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In the outer court of the tabernacle deals with your body and how God brings redemption to your body. The holy place is indicative of your soul and the aspects of the working of the Spirit in your soul.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And in the Holy of Holies is a representation of man's union with God in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because it has always been the desire of God to tabernacle with man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I want to read you a verse concerning that. Hallelujah. It's in Jeremiah. It's on the 31st verse. 31st chapter, I'm sorry. And it's the 31st verse. So it's Jeremiah 31:31. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says, "Behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Now that's very important, because Judah was a part of Israel, but yet God made a significant made a significant reference to Judah.
Hallelujah.
And in that reference,
he
highlighted or elevated the importance of Judah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it's important.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the transition of the priesthood in Israel. Hallelujah. Now, this particular verse deals with both the old covenant that God made with Israel and the fact that there would be a new covenant.
Hallelujah.
And the new covenant is specifically highlights a position or a place of Judah.
Hallelujah.
Now, the old priesthood under the old covenant was administered by the Levites. So it was the tribe of Levi that had the responsibility. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But when David came on the line and he began to there was a transference of that position or that place of that priesthood. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Up until David, no tribe outside of Levi could handle the ark. To work, they could not work with the ark. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it was put in a special place. And only once a year could the high priest go into that place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But when David came along, hallelujah.
Amen.
David had a tent in which the ark resided.
David ruled.
And the Bible refers to it as the Tabernacle of David. Hallelujah. And I think there is even a scriptural reference that says that I will restore.
Amos 9:11.
Yes, Amos 9:11. Let us look at it. But, you know, it's good to look at these verses.
And in Acts 15.
Huh?
Amos 9:11, Acts 15.
Okay, well, we'll go to both of them. Amos 9:11. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. All right, let us, right here, it says, in that day. Now, it's important to understand the context, so I suggest that you go back at some time at your leisure and read the ninth chapter.
Now,
last night I told you that numbers were important in scriptures. And nine is significant of judgment. And there, in this ninth chapter, it seems as though there is a pronouncement of judgment that God is bringing against Israel for their position of transgression. But he says in verse 11, in that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof. I will raise up the ruins and I will build it as in the days of old. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Acts, what was it? Acts 1?
Acts 15.
Acts 15. Praise God.
Amen.
So we're taking it now out of the old and into the new. So it becomes very important to us because Acts 15 what? 15:15
down.
Okay, let us read here. Verse 15. Yes. Huh? Yeah, I want to start at 15 though. Thank you. And to this agree the words of the prophet as it is written. After this, I will return and build again the tabernacle of
David,
which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, it is not just that there will be a tabernacle that is called the Tabernacle of David.
Hallelujah.
It is that God desired from the beginning to tabernacle with man.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we see that there is a word that God is bringing to us as a people.
And
there is a opening that God is giving to us that we might become the fulfillment of the prophecies that have been spoken of by all of the prophets.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And reiterated by the servants of God throughout the New Testament.
Hallelujah.
I suppose it might be rather difficult for us to comprehend given our positions of living and the environment that we live in, that we could understand or comprehend that we have the opportunity to be the fulfillment of these prophecies. The prophecies were given for the end time to deal with the end of the end time. And in that time frame, God intends to bring to fulfillment the totality of what it was that he has been prophesying throughout all of the time of Old and New Testament. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You and I have an option. We can be Christian, maybe good Christians, do our Christian thing, live, die, go to heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Or we can be the elect of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We can be what the Bible calls sons of God. And that term sonship is not just a terminology to explain or define your Christianity.
Hallelujah.
There are two words that God uses for the church.
Hallelujah.
One of them is electusia.
Isn't
that right?
Ecclesia.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it means those that are called out of the world into God, so to speak. But there is another word. That is electos.
Ecclesus.
He's the professor.
Amen.
It's called electos. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that means called out of the called out.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, it isn't that God goes around saying, okay, you're eligible, you're not, you're eligible, you're eligible, you're not eligible, you're not eligible, but you're eligible. It's not like that.
Hallelujah.
It has nothing to do with God making a certain selection to a person who or what they are. The Bible says that God is no respecter of
person.
It is whether you or I want it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's whether you or I
Amen.
Believe it.
Hallelujah.
And we should be diligent with regards to the revelation that God is bringing to us. Hallelujah. Of the desire that is in his heart.
Hallelujah.
There are two categories of Christians. One of the categories is called... all of them are called 10 virgins.
Hallelujah.
All of them are virgins. That means they're Christian. They have a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. They have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But there are five wise,
and
there are five foolish. Now, that is not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I can count it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Five is the number of ministry.
Hallelujah.
And what responsibility we have as priests, as unto God, is not so much in the aspect that we minister to each other,
it's
that we minister to God. Hallelujah. Was that not the pattern that was set?
Hallelujah.
It was the priest that ministered to God in the tabernacle. Hallelujah. Five is the number of ministry.
There is
a wise ministry, and there is a foolish ministry. A wise ministry takes the things that are being given to us by God and gets into the Word to find out whether or not they are really real.
Hallelujah.
Really pertinent to you as a believer.
Hallelujah.
You know, God is through with church in the sense that we have known it in the past. You come, you sit, you sing, you read the Bible, somebody shares over here, somebody shares over here, the pastor gets up and he brings a message, and you go walk out the door and you do the same old thing that you did the day before. And down the road, maybe a day, you even forget what it was that was in the message. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We have an individual responsibility. We have an individual position of accountability.
Hallelujah.
Whether you're a young person, a young adult or an older person or an old person. Hallelujah. And your age makes no difference. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? Your age makes no difference. I've seen a little girl, maybe 4, 5 years old, I don't know.
Hallelujah.
But I know that she wasn't much older than 6 or 7. I think she was younger than that. And the Lord spoke to her about a situation in the church with regards to a couple that were in the church, a married couple.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And she was able to hear from God. And she wasn't disrespectful. She wasn't belligerent or aggressive. She just simply stated what it was that God told her what the problem was. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And she did not even understand what she was saying. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So age is, and it was right on. It was right dead on. Hallelujah. But because she was just a little girl, they brushed it aside. To their detriment, by the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it really makes no difference your age. Hallelujah. In your position of responsibility concerning the Word of God and the calling and the election that God has been, that God is bringing to us as a people. Hallelujah. So I want to go back into Jeremiah. We just read the 31st verse. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, before I do that, I want to go back on this with the covenant with the house of Judah. Not only did the priesthood shift, Hallelujah. From Levi to Judah.
Hallelujah.
And I believe if you go back and look at the blessings or the word prophetic word that Jacob prophesied over his sons.
Hallelujah.
You will find the word in there that when they prophesied to Judah, he talked about the scepter being given to him. Did he not? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it is so much so that Jesus Christ came through the lineage of David.
Hallelujah.
And he was of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when we become born again by virtue of his blood. Hallelujah. We are grafted in that spiritual position of relationship with him, and he looks at us as Judah. Now, this is not a natural type of situation. You could not go to Israel and say, I'm of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. Because they do not recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, in Ethiopia, where I have been spending much time, they have a lineage of Ethiopians that are Jews. And they're not only Jews, but they are also of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. And they verify this, of course, through their blood. They do whatever they do with blood to determine what it is you are, that's what they're doing. Or they won't let them into Israel. Hallelujah. So he says there is a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Hallelujah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Which covenant they break? Although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to take you back, and I want to show you how the prophetic actions of characters in the Bible play out over a period of time. Hallelujah.
Now,
Jeremiah came along a long time after Moses and the children of Israel came out of Egypt. But when they were gathered around the mount, when they first came out of Egypt, and God called Moses up to the mount, hallelujah, and there he gave him not only the pattern, but the tables of stone with the Ten Commandments written therein. Hallelujah. You remember what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When Moses was coming down off the mount, he picked up Joseph and Caleb. It was Joshua and Caleb who had been waiting for him.
Hallelujah.
And as they descended down the mountain, one of those young men says, it sounds like the sound of war or something of that nature. But Moses had a keener discernment.
Hallelujah.
Because it says, no, it sounds like that they are making merry and worshiping another God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when he came down and he saw what was happening, he took the table of stone and he threw it down and it broke. Hallelujah. Now, God called Moses a prophet.
Hallelujah.
And what was happening in that situation is in what they were doing, and because of what they were doing, God was demonstrating what he or how he would respond to them. Hallelujah. And what he was saying is that I will break my covenant with them. And I will cut them off. And I will make a new covenant with a new people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That, we find that in the New Testament. Let's see, where is it? Romans. Yes. We find that in Romans. It's Romans. Let me see. It talks about the tree, the olive tree. Yeah, here it is. Romans, the 9th chapter. Oh, boy. We're back to the number 9. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The 9th chapter. Or was it? No, maybe it's over here. No, I'm sorry. It's in the 11th chapter. Hallelujah. 11th verse says, 11:11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid.
I see.
11th chapter of Romans. But rather through their fall, salvation is common to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be riches of the world, and the diminishing them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke them to emulation, them that are of my flesh, and that I might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, he goes on to say that he likens us unto a wild olive tree. Hallelujah. That is taken off of that tree and grafted into a pure tree, another olive tree. Let me see. What does he say? If some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree. Were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of that olive tree. That's in verse 17.
Ihe na-akọwa na anyị ndị mba ọzọ dị ka osisi a na-azụ azụ nke dị n'ime ọhịa.
Hallelujah.
Bịa were fanye n'osisi nke azụrụ azụ ụmụ Israel. Anyị soro ha kete ihe anwụ na mgbọrọgwụ osisi ahụ na-enyezi ndị mba ọzọ nri.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So verse 33, back in Jeremiah 31. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward part. I will write them in their heart, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it was the plan of God from the beginning to come from an external position to an internal position. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that was made possible by virtue of what it was that Christ did with us on the cross.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have to understand the reality of our circumstances and who it is we are by virtue of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when you become born again, You don't just become a sanctified human being. Hallelujah. That has a God that you are serving. Hallelujah. But you are taken out of the realm of the natural. And all of the heritage that comes with it by virtue of the blood that you were born with.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And you know there are so many attachments that you have to this environment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there is so much that is required of us as human beings if you want to live as a part of the family that you were born in this environment. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But if you are born again, then there is an authority that God gives you by virtue of that new birth. And that authority is an authority that you can begin to utilize to deliver yourself out of the quagmire of your worldly heritage. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, when we receive the Lord, depending on what age it is, hallelujah. And if we look in the mirror, we see the same person. nothing is basically changed. Except for the fact that when you receive God, there was a quickening in your soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that soul that was dead, by virtue of acceptance, has now become a living soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if it's living, that's eternal. And that's the whole idea, right? When we get saved, we want to get saved to go to heaven. Is that right? Hallelujah. Or did you get saved for some other reason? Hallelujah. We get saved because we don't want to go to hell. Hallelujah. We want to go to heaven. But brethren, the Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is inside of you.
Amen.
If the kingdom of heaven is inside of you, what makes heaven a kingdom?
Huh?
What makes heaven
a kingdom?
Is it not the presence of the king? Hallelujah. So you not only have the kingdom of heaven inside of you, but you have the actuality and the reality of the king of that kingdom inside of you. Hallelujah. But the devil does not want you to know that. The devil wants you to believe that you have to struggle with life, that you have to persevere at all costs till you make it to the end of the day. Hallelujah. And then when you die of old age, God accepts you into his kingdom. Isn't that what you were taught?
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. It is not biblical. It is not the intent of God. Hallelujah. God never intended for you to be saved or born again and then leave you alone until you die. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The reality of what it is that God wants you to become aware. Hallelujah. Have a knowledge that is not just a head knowledge, but that it is a heart knowledge that inside of you dwelling the omnipotent, the omnipresent, the omnipotent God inside of you.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You don't have to wait.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because it says, when God says, I will tabernacle with man. Hallelujah. It meant that God saying, I am going to come down and I'm going to dwell in this man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The creation knows what you are.
Amen.
Better than what you know what you are. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
It says in Romans, the 8th chapter. Hallelujah. Romans, the 8th chapter. Hallelujah. Romans, 8th chapter. Listen to what it says.
Get the hope.
Verse 19, for the earnest expectation.
Hallelujah.
Now, in your Bible, I don't know how they write that in your language. Hallelujah. But in the Hebrew, when it says earnest, it's an intensified desire. Hallelujah. A desire that is so intense that it builds a hope within something for something. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
That means the trees, the rock, even the very dirt. Hallelujah. You walk on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are aware of what it is that you are. Hallelujah. And you know, I can almost, when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, and his disciples were screaming at the top of their lungs, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna,
Hosanna,
the King, the Son of David, Hosanna, Hosanna. Hallelujah. The Pharisee, the religious system. Hallelujah. Make your disciples be a little more quiet. Don't let them be so boisterous. Don't let them be so loud. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if it were necessary. Did you hear it? If it were necessary, even the rock would cry out.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you hear it? That was not just a verbal expression. There was a reality to it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When we look at a rock, we don't think of a rock as speaking.
Hallelujah.
But God said that if it was necessary, those rocks would speak. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says the earnest expectation of the creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you hearing it? They are waiting for a manifestation. You do not wait for something if it's not going to happen. You are not going to wait for something if you know it's not going to come to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it was in the aspect of the creation. Hallelujah. Listen to what he said. Hallelujah. For the creature, and it means creation, was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Listen to what happens when creation. To creation. Hallelujah. When you arrive or do what it is that God wants to do with you. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, brother. When you walk down the street or out into the bush, hallelujah,
amen.
As you walk through the bush knows who
hallelujah.
You are. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they're saying, there goes one of them.
Hallelujah.
There goes one of them that has the power to release us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there is this position, this place that God wants to bring us to. Hallelujah. The verse, it's in Hebrews, I believe. It says, I will walk in them. Huh? Is it X? Hebrews. I thought it was Hebrews. All right. Well, that's good. We'll look at both of them. Hebrews what? Hallelujah. Well, while you're looking for that, I want to go to Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Hallelujah. As I was talking to you about the tabernacle and the three sections of the tabernacle and was relating to you that those three sections are indicative of your body, of your soul, and of your spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And within those, in that structure, there were seven pieces of furniture. Hallelujah. Two of them in the outer court, three of them in the holy place, and two of them within the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. I'm sorry. Okay, just hold that. Hallelujah. So those are not just pieces of furniture. Hallelujah. They are seven works of grace. They are not only seven works of grace, but each work of grace elevates you to a higher level.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. A higher level of spiritual reality.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. When you were out in the world, hallelujah,
amen,
and living as a sinner, you had no concept of God or the reality of God. But somehow God saved your soul. Hallelujah. That first piece of furniture as you come into the gate, hallelujah, of the outer court. Hallelujah. You are confronted with the brazen altar. And that is where they were making the daily sacrifices. And it is indicative of the cross of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you just did not become born again. John chapter 3. Hallelujah. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So before you were born again, you could not see the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And when you were born again, you were elevated into a spiritual place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And your eyes, which were blind, were now open. And you could see the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And what you see as you come in to that tabernacle, to that outer court, going through that altar, you see the brazen laver. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Another work of grace that God gives. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because the Bible says in John chapter 3 again, you cannot enter, hallelujah, the kingdom of God unless you are born of the water and born of the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you become born of the water, it doesn't give you everything that you need to enter. Hallelujah. You must be born of the Spirit also. Hallelujah. And it's not just another spiritual experience.
Hallelujah.
It elevates you once again to a higher level that gives you now the power to go into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Devil does not want you to believe that you can go into the kingdom of God in this life. Hallelujah. And we have a doctrine that tells us that we do not have to worry about it, because somehow, some way, God is going to rapture out of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why would God go to all the trouble? You know, God wrote the Bible in the blood of saints. Hallelujah. Why would God go to all the trouble in expending all of that human life and preserving their testimony for us to read? Why would he say in Revelation 7 times to him that overcometh, I will give a crown? Overcoming is something you do now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You don't have to overcome when you are out in with the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have to overcome now.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. Hebrews chapter 6 says, therefore leaving the principle of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God saying, not only do I want you to be perfect, but I'm giving you an authority to be perfect.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
The question is, do we want it?
Mm.
And if you want it, what are you going to do? What are you willing to do to get it?
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.